So David Abramson, first of all, how are you doing?
Yes, Howard. We're moving forward. I think last night's speech was a little bit underwhelming. I think that was something that I think stands out for me this morning.
I love the word. You know, that's the word, underwhelming. Thank you, David.
Yeah. Yeah. Pleasure, Howard. I think again, you know, President Ramaphosa really, really has been doing an excellent job as far as leading us is concerned. But I think last night, you know, it's getting more and more critical that people have some kind of predictability and structure and knowing kind of where we're going. And last night, there wasn't enough of that, I feel. I think people are going to start feeling a little bit antsy, or even more than that, some more than a little bit antsy, even a little bit angry, because, you know, there just wasn't enough specifics. And I think people want goals to aim for, dates to look forward to, things to look forward to. And I think, you know, unless there are going to be more details coming out shortly, which I hope there are, I think it was very light on how we move forward.
Yeah, because, you know, especially considering yesterday, they literally were made a laughing stock over this clothing thing, the t-shirts and the leggings. And I thought I was the only person who had no idea what a crop bottom was. Turned out Twitter doesn't know either, Zanati.
Yeah, really.
Do you know what a crop bottom
is? No. I only know a crop top.
You pretended like you knew.
I didn't.
You did say. David, were you listening yesterday?
I wasn't. But did you pretend, Howard?
Never.
Even if it wasn't overtly, it was subtly implied that, well, you're an idiot because you don't know what these things are, like crop bottom. No one's heard of that. Twitter has not heard of a crop bottom.
I'm being accused.
Yeah.
So, do not underestimate Zanati. I start every session now saying, if you can't be a Beyonce, be yourself. And so that's the motto.
So
Zanati has taught me much.
So yesterday, of course, they made a complete fools of themselves, I think, over the clothing thing. And there's a, you know, and I do get it. Today's article in the Jewish Report is the opposite of everything that I've been saying over today, which is every country in the world is bumbling along. And I bring examples in my article about how irrational a lot of the decisions have appeared to be in England, in Israel, and in the United States. Everybody's doing this for the very first time, and the president made that point last night, is that none of us really have any, we just don't have experience in this. We are doing our best. And to a large extent, I do believe that they're doing their best. It doesn't mean that they're doing what is right or what we agree with. The reality is that we'll only be able to know in about 6 months' time or in a year if they did it right. And even then, perhaps
absolutely
not.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for me, what's so difficult is the as you say, we don't know enough from a medical perspective, and things move so quickly from last week to this week. I mean, when we talk about, and there was a fantastic webinar run by the South African Jewish Report on, you know, online schooling and going back to school, you know, only recently in the last few days have now you know, a lot of research papers coming out showing that obviously not many children are contracting the coronavirus, they think, and that children are very unlikely, it seems, to pass on the you know, the virus to adults. Now that's, you know, that's just been, I've been reading in the last 2 days. And if that is the case, that's a game changer.
David,
I just want to say
if, because what I don't want is our listeners to take that as fact.
Absolutely.
And for young children to be taken to visit elderly or vulnerable grandparents.
Oh, not at
so,
all.
So
not
I just do want to clarify that. I think it's important that, you know, there's so much information out there. Let's wait until things are confirmed properly before we adhere to it.
I agree completely. And that was the point I was going to make, is that that's just come out in the last 2 days. But we don't know. We don't know whether that is solid research and it's been, you know, confirmed, and we see this, you know, and that we can really be confident in those kind of findings. So I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, the government is, and I think our, you know, I would say our schools are going the more conservative route, because if we get it wrong, that means that people are going to lose their lives. And so it's a huge consequence to play. So I think for me, it's a very, very fine line, you know, all these decisions, because we're waiting to make these decisions on medical information that we're not really sure about. On the one hand, I do feel for the government who are really trying to, you know, play catch up, like we all are, because this thing is so new.
Yeah. And I think that's, and as parents, people are also trying to figure this out. You know, we keep assessing it at home and seeing how my daughter in some ways is doing really fantastically, online, but obviously it's not a perfect system. And at the same time, it's going to be quite scary to start moving back to a physical environment.
Very scary. I think that's the balance that I think the schools, certainly the Jewish day schools, I'm sure the education department, are trying to find. I think again, for millions of South African children, this is not only about going back to school. This is about being fed, and about so much more, needing to survive. But, you know, for the lucky ones who are at private schools, I think for me, absolutely, it's really, really about trying to balance, this online schooling, which I don't think is going to go away. I think it's going to be, in some shape or form, it's going to remain for a while and maybe forever. But I do think for me, what we are seeing from a human perspective is how important, and we've always known this, but this situation has really kind of brought it home, where we just, as human beings, crave togetherness. We crave that interaction from a very young age, until we're adults, you know, right. It's something that we need. It's not a negotiable. So I don't think online schooling will take over, but I do think it'll be there. But really, yeah, I think people are getting to a stage where they are craving that social interaction.
Online schooling and physical schooling. Kim says, my daughter's at Eden with a cross culture of a people. My husband and I discussed last night, when we discussed going back to school, we said it's not compulsory to go back to school. My husband said yes, and I said no. Daughter's also doing very well, working at home. So it's an interesting thing. And certainly we're seeing the advantages of homeschooling, I have to say.
I think there definitely are some advantages. I mean, especially for the older kids. I mean, the kids that can kind of work independently, I think, there's huge advantages. I think one of them is that I think personally school starts way too early for the teens. You know, to get up at 6 o'clock or 5:30 for some of them, neurologically, biologically, their clocks and their brains don't really start functioning as well as they should, until later in the day. And I think, these teenagers are popping out of bed a little bit later and having a little bit of breakfast, hopefully, and then sitting in front of their computer. And I think that certainly is a plus, you know, that they are able to, hopefully, they are getting to sleep at a decent time. But certainly are getting more, not having to really get going as early as they did in the past, which has been shown, again, over and over by many, many scientific studies that teenagers are slow starters in the morning. And I think if you've got a teenager, you'll know that very, very well.
So does that mean, David, that schools should be looking at the lessons of homeschooling and saying, well, what worked really well? How do we adopt this to our school day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, as I say, talking to some education, people in the know, I just don't see it not sticking around. I don't see us going back to how it was, because I think we need to take the benefits of what we have learnt, and obviously we've learnt it under difficult circumstances, but nevertheless take what we've learnt and take the good. But as I say, I don't think for me we'll ever, well, we shouldn't, that's my feeling, we shouldn't ever take away or deny children, especially the younger children and the adolescents. So I would say across the board, that face-to-face interaction.
I don't think, especially at a young age, that that would ever be a good idea. Even an older one, because I also think it's quite important to know that it could be working well now because everybody's in this environment.
Whereas, let's say everybody
goes back to school and a handful of kids don't, well, then they won't have that social through online.
Exactly. And as we know, the implications for parents are also huge. I mean, parents who have to work, we've said this in the past. I think parents are going to really appreciate, teachers moving forward because, it really is a specialized, profession and, you really need to know what you're doing. And I think parents, rightly so, are not teachers. They're just filling in the gaps. You know, this is really just a temporary, hopefully, situation where parents are facilitating. They're certainly not teaching. So I think for me, it's so important that, we take the good from the online learning. And I think there is good, but from a psychological perspective, we see, and this is what we've said over and over for years, is that even on social media, there is that connection. And I think it's been an absolute blessing that there's been, the technology that we can learn online and that we can socialize online, and certainly the children can. But I think for me, we know now that nothing replaces that face-to-face, that interaction, that touch, and that that social dynamic, which children and adults thrive on.
David, are you seeing a trend of anything very different in terms of, what you're seeing with some of your clients?
Yeah. No, I think, absolutely. I think, Howard, obviously the more obvious ones are the economic, people are experiencing economic difficulties, which is very real. So that brings on anxiety, and mood, lowering of mood, depression. But absolutely, even people who are not experiencing financial difficulty, this isolation, and this restriction is really taking its toll. I think early on people were accepting of it, understood it, from a logical level, and then from an emotional level could process it, and kind of embraced it. But I think people are really, and I am generalizing, but just talking to my colleagues and my own experience is that, a lot more people are really struggling now. And I think, as I say, the two things are anxiety, and depression. Your mood starts to go down. So I think for me, again, this balance between the medical and the psychological and the emotional is a very, very, difficult one to walk.
Yeah, very interesting. Thanati, what's your thoughts?
I'm just, as soon as you mention online schooling, I panic. I don't even have kids yet. And I'm like, hopefully by the time I have kids, I will not have to deal with it. Honestly. But yeah, it's very interesting, that now homeschooling will kind of start to become an option for a lot of people. But yeah, kids really do need that social interaction, especially when they are young. So it's going to be very interesting how we're all going to be seeing things after this lockdown is over.
Yeah, very, very interesting indeed. Time is 8:30. So David Abramson, before I let you go, what's advice to parents over this? Because the period of uncertainty here is also significant, that they don't know when they're going back. And we keep getting these questions. When do you think we're going back? Do you think we're going back? What do you think? But Dad, you know these things. I don't. Nobody knows anything.
Yes.
But it actually is quite unnerving for.
Absolutely, and I think that's why, as we were saying last night, and hopefully it's going to, hopefully the Minister of Education is going to also talk this week and give us some kind of guideline. It's the not knowing. It's the, he said the 1st of May we're kind of looking to go to, to level 3. But what does that mean? And I think that's what we need. We need something to work towards. Which will be very, very important, that we know that there's an end point to this phase. So I think that's what I hope I'm going to be looking for for in the next few days, is announcements around what we can aim for, what we can look forward to, rather than this is just going to continue, until a certain date, and then we'll let you know. I think people need to know.